The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
A very, very good afternoon to you, Rolene Marks. How are you this Monday afternoon?
I do believe it's a very good afternoon for you, Mr. Bromberg. Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Broadcast.
Thank you so much, Rolene. Well, you've been part of it for what, good, what, 40-odd shows? How it is, I guess?
Absolutely, and, wouldn't miss it for the world.
And Rolene, it's great to be at show number 50. And we've got big news with Liz Truss. And is that how you pronounce it? Is it Truss or Truss? I've actually heard both today, so I'm not quite sure.
I'm going to go for the Truss.
Trust. So what does this mean now, obviously, for Israel? So she's going to meet with Her Majesty the Queen later today, I think, and she'll form her government, and then she's officialized as the Prime Minister. So what does this effectively mean for Israel?
Well, I think, first of all, tomorrow we are going to see her meet Liz, because I think for the maybe the second time in British history, we have a Queen Elizabeth and a Prime Minister. Well, I'm sure she's Elizabeth, but we have a Prime Minister, Liz. So just a small correction on that one, my fault. They will meet tomorrow at Balmoral, where Her Majesty the Queen will charge the new Prime Minister, the third female Prime Minister to come from the Tory party in the history of Britain, with forming a government in her name. But of course, we all want to know, what does this mean for Israel? So Liz Truss essentially has been a candidate that is extremely, extremely pro-Israel, a very good friend to Israel. In fact, one of the points that she made during her election campaign is that should she be successful, she would seriously consider. Now, understand that there would be a lot of backlash in various parts of the British government. Well, she'll consider moving the British embassy from where it is in Tel Aviv to Israel's capital, Jerusalem. She also is known to have a history of supporting Jews, the Jewish community, and the State of Israel. No sooner had this announcement been made, the Board of Deputies of British Jews sent their congratulations, as did Stand With Us, as did our leader of the opposition, Benjamin Netanyahu, and our Prime Minister, Yair Lapid, who says that, you know, when he was foreign minister, he worked so closely with Liz Truss signing historic agreements on increasing cooperation between Israel and the United Kingdom. And we've certainly seen bilateral relations between the two countries really, really strengthen over the last couple of years. We also can't forget the historical op-ed co-penned by what was then a Foreign Secretary Truss and Foreign Minister Lapid, as they wrote about increasing cooperation and making sure that Iran does not become a nuclear power. This in the Telegraph newspaper just, I'd say, probably about a year or so ago. And also Liz Truss's emphatic support for Israel in probably one of the most hostile environments, which is the United Nations. In fact, I saw Hillel Noya, he is the director of UN Watch, tweet out just moments ago about how he's looking forward to continuing that relationship in holding those that are human rights transgressors responsible at the United Nations.
This is such positive news. And the feeling on the ground there?
The feeling on the ground in Israel is pretty positive. I wouldn't have discounted Rishi Sunak. He was her competitor, also supportive of Israel. But largely, the Conservative Party is much more supportive of Israel. We can't forget the anxiety that British Jews have felt over the last decade or so, as it looked likely that one day there could be a Jeremy Corbyn-led Labour government. I mean, today, as we commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Munich massacre, we also can't forget that Jeremy Corbyn laid wreaths at the graves of the terrorists that carried out the Munich massacre. So today, Israel is seeing a big win for Britain, but of course the British public, the British electorate are going to have to weigh in, and we'll have to see how she measures up to promises made to them over the next couple of months. But here in Israel, we're pretty happy with the result.
Awesome. I think that's just very encouraging. Let's wait and see. Hopefully it will be a good rule for her. So let's see. And breaking away from that story, so the terror attack yesterday on the bus in the Jordan Valley, what actually happened there?
Yesterday, a bus driven by a civilian bus driver was traveling through the Jordan Valley, packed with IDF soldiers. These were reportedly new recruits when three terrorists opened fire. Now, they injured seven, including the civilian bus driver, thank goodness. Magin David Adom reporting late yesterday that one of the soldiers has recovered. He was reportedly in serious condition. Two of the terrorists were caught as they tried to set the bus on fire using a Molotov cocktail. They managed to set themselves on fire. They have been caught and have received medical care. And to our knowledge, one is still at large. But Israel swearing to widen counter-terror ops, especially now as we could possibly see an uptick in violence in the West Bank.
And yesterday morning, Hamas executed five Gaza citizens, and barely a word has been said in the international media. So what actually happened there?
Gary?
Yes, hi. Can you hear me? You are back. A glitch with technology. I suppose we should be becoming familiar with it.
I think Mercury's in Gatorade or something like that, Gary. There seems to be all kinds of disruptions.
Absolutely.
Today.
So sorry about that. Yes, so you were telling us about obviously what happened, obviously, and this was sad with the execution of the five Gaza citizens.
And we were talking about Hamas executing five Gazan citizens. Now, this is something that, quite frankly, should be on the front page or on alert for most mainstream media outlets, including human rights organizations. But it's seen very, very little coverage. Two of those executed by firing squad were reportedly collaborators with Israel. Now, that a collaborator could mean a whole number of things. It could range from supplying intelligence to Israeli counter-terror forces, all the way, you know, to maybe just speaking to an Israeli. The other three were criminals that were executed by hanging. But, you know, this kind of extrajudicial execution carried out by Hamas gets very little coverage. I saw France 24 give a little bit of coverage to that, but it is largely ignored. And this is a trend that we see, especially in this region, where these kind of what some would call human rights abuses, Hamas would say, you know, this is it's a crime against the constitution, but executing civilians based on assumptions that they're cooperating with Israel is absolutely a crime against humanity.
Absolutely terrible, terrible indeed. Unfortunately, Roline, that's it for today. And looking forward to tomorrow, where we can catch up again with the Israel report from Roline Marks.